Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person, coming up. The future of a landmark on North Barules to be decided by the government's planning department. Representatives from Northern Ireland are due in the Isle of Man to discuss the working visa issues in Manx waters. And the ashes of a local legend are being scattered at the former ground of his favourite football club. That's all coming up in the next half hour. But first of all, the update news headlines with Amy Griffiths. Fastamai.
The future of a landmark on North Barule is going to be decided by the planning department. Manx Utilities, which owns the land, has submitted an application for a certificate of lawfulness in relation to the Three Legs of Man feature there to decide whether it meets planning regulations. An MLC says vulnerable gas customers on the Isle of Man urgently need safeguards due to the ongoing instability with prices globally. Gary Clewitt's been speaking as the Upper Chamber of Tynwald approved new regulations at this week's sitting.
Commercial customers are vulnerable. They urgently need the safeguard of a robust statutory regulatory system.
A farmer in the northwest of the island says he's losing a metre of land a year to coastal erosion. Thomas Cleeter's been working the same farm for the past 20 years. He says one of his fields in particular is now unusable because it's so unsafe after a large chunk fell away in recent months.
I feel like, in a way, the attitude towards it is probably more around, well, we don't know what to do, so what's the point? Just grin and bear it, in a sense.
The Department of Infrastructure is working on its response, but says it produced a report last year setting out a national strategy for how to tackle the issue. The iconic Swiss Chalet in Glen Helen has been given a new lease of life, reopening as a community farm shop. It's after the former restaurant was gutted by a fire in 2020. The man behind the venture, Matt Harrison, says there's much more to come.
We've got cinema nights coming, we've got butchery nights coming, we've got celebrity chefs coming, we've got Brian and Michael are doing the glamping pods coming. It's not going to stop.
Turning to international news now, and Lebanon's health ministry claims dozens of people have been killed following Israel's biggest wave of strikes on the country. The IDF says it's hit more than 100 targets linked to the Iran-backed Hezbollah militant group. Plumes of smoke can be seen coming out of Beirut. Meanwhile, the British Prime Minister says there's still a lot of work to do to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Keir Starmer's in Saudi Arabia, where he's meeting Gulf allies in a push to find a resolution to the Iran war. And the inclusion of a racial slur during the broadcast of the BAFTAs was a breach of the BBC's editorial standards. Its executive complaints unit says the incident in February was highly offensive, but agreed its airing was a genuine mistake. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Guru Mayu, Amy. So, weather-wise, continuing dry and bright this evening. Then tonight, some mist and fog may develop in places for a time. Maximum temperature 7 Celsius. Tomorrow, starting cloudy, outbreaks of rain, drizzle developing, but these will clear around late morning, leaving sunny spells and scattered showers thereafter, although with fresh to strong westerly winds. Maximum temperature tomorrow around 10 Celsius. A quiet start on Friday. I don't know what's quiet about this start on Friday, but rain will move in as the day goes on as the south or southeast winds increase strong, possibly touching gale force, then continuing rather windy for much of the weekend with sunshine and showers.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate or call 674 573. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The future of a landmark on North Barule is going to be decided by the government's planning department. Manx Utilities, which owns the land, submitted an application for a certificate of lawfulness in relation to the Three Legs of Man feature, as Amy Griffiths reports.
The Triskelion on the side of the hill is made up of hundreds of painted stones and has been there since 2019. It was created by Brian Callister, who believed it could become a tourist landmark. After it was repainted on more than one occasion without Manx Utilities permission, a number of complaints were made and questions asked about planning compliance. It says as the landowner, it has a responsibility to manage the land appropriately and follow relevant planning requirements. It's now asking for the certificate to clarify the planning status of the feature, which will determine whether it's lawful under planning legislation rather than seeking permission for any new works. Manx Utility says it recognises the strength of feeling and public interest in the future management of the site and the cultural meaning the sign holds for many people in the Isle of Man. While it insists it remains neutral regarding its presence, it does say that if the landmark is found to be breaching any laws, then it could be open to planning enforcement. Some of the factors that will inform that decision include strong community support for retaining the Triskelion, the need for clear and transparent guidance regarding the feature's legality, previous statements of support from Lezerre commissioners, practical management considerations given the site's accessibility to the public, its use by a tenant farmer, and limited day-to-day presence by Manx Utilities, and finally, a desire to discourage further unauthorised painting by ensuring a clear, formal process is followed. While the application's being processed, Manx Utilities is going to install signs there to make it clear that the stones are on private property and can't be repainted without permission. Manx Utilities says it remains committed to acting responsibly and lawfully while respecting the views of the community and the importance of the island's cultural heritage.
Amy Griffiths with that report. Now, Manx Radio understands a minister from Northern Ireland will be in the Isle of Man next Wednesday for crucial talks with the government. Lewis Foster has more.
It's over fishing rights in Manx waters and vessels not being allowed to operate in the 12-mile zone if any of their crew members hold a transit or UK skilled worker visa. The ruling's been in place for a number of years, but hasn't been implemented until now. Both of the fish producers' organisations in the Isle of Man and Northern Ireland are expressing concern about the restriction, along with Isle of Man Seafoods. When the issue came to light a few weeks ago, the Isle of Man government issued a statement saying they're aware of concern raised among the Irish sea fishing community, but there have been no recent changes to the visa or immigration requirements for foreign nationals working in the island's waters. The compliance activity around this position has not changed, it says, and there are no immediate plans to make any changes. Those who do not hold either British or Irish citizenship are required to obtain a valid immigration permission before engaging in employment within the Isle of Man's territorial waters. This includes securing appropriate entry clearance under the established worker migrant visa framework, supported by a confirmation of employment issued by an Isle of Man employer. The Isle of Man government says it's mindful of the operational challenges this presents for parts of the fishing sector, including those vessels that have traditionally fished in Manx waters under long-standing arrangements, and discussions with the relevant Northern Ireland authorities are underway. This process, it says, aims to support a clear and workable approach going forward, and one that provides certainty for vessel operators while upholding the respective legislative requirements. This effectively stops many boats from catching nephrops, which is a shrimp-like creature, as well as scallops. The Manx government's confirmed the issue of fishing in Isle of Man waters is on the agenda for the meeting next week.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Legislative Council member Gary Cluett's warning vulnerable gas customers in the Isle of Man urgently need safeguards amidst the ongoing instability over prices globally. He was speaking as the Upper Chamber of Tymald approved new regulations at this week's sitting. The Gas Economic Regulation Bill 2026 will give the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority the tools to license and oversee economic activities within the island's gas sector. It also introduces ways to protect vulnerable customers, such as tariff regulation and minimum service standards.
It is clear from the evidence we have received and the concerns raised, both publicly and privately, that the company was seeking greater certainty about what routes were available to challenge regulatory decisions. I do not believe that concern is unjustified. When a regulator is granted significant powers over license conditions, directions, penalties, public statements, and even suspension or revocation, it is quite understandable that a regulated entity would seek clarity on how these powers can be reviewed and, if needed, challenged. So I do not dismiss those concerns, and I do not think that Council should dismiss them either. However, We must also recognise that all utilities regulated by CURA fall under the same broad regulatory framework, a regime that has proven effective for many years and has not raised similar concerns about the appeals process amongst other regulated entities. At the same time, we must legislate for the Isle of Man as it currently is, not for a much larger jurisdiction with a very different market structure, consumer base, and institutional capacity. We are dealing here with a small jurisdiction, a monopoly environment, and currently a very urgent need to establish regulation for commercial gas customers who, as things stand, do not have the protection of the regulator at all. Given the current geopolitical climate, the instability of global energy markets, and the unpredictability of prices, I believe urgency is essential. We have also received both oral and written evidence from social housing providers outlining their issues and concerns regarding their status as unregulated commercial customers. Commercial customers are vulnerable. They urgently need the safeguard of a robust statutory regulatory system. Therefore, I believe it is essential that this bill proceed immediately and without amendment.
Legislative Council member Gary Cluett talking about the Gas Economic Regulation Bill 2026. Later this month, a Timald motion will ask members to impose restrictions on the number of times two important Timald roles are held consecutively. They are the positions of Speaker of the House of Keys and President of Timald. Onken MHK Julie Edge argues that both should only be held twice before the holder hands over to someone else. But she isn't willing to say yet why she believes this should happen.
While we now know that Lawrence Skelly is stepping back from being president and will be replaced, we have to wait until September's general election, or possibly just after, before finding out who will be Speaker of the Keys. Present Speaker, Juan Watterson, is the current principal officer of the House. He's elected by members from amongst their number. You may recall from distant history lessons the Speaker of the House of Commons telling Charles I, who'd arrived with 400 armed men to make arrests for treason, "I have no eyes to see, nor tongue to speak in this place except as the House directs me." He is seen as the defender of the House's privileges. Does Mr. Watterson relish the idea of another term as Speaker, or does his ambition still lie in the direction of the presidential chair? He stood for the role in 2021 and was defeated by Lawrence Skelly, but he was unopposed for the Speaker's role in 2016 and 2021.
Whilst I expect reform to be a constant theme of the work of this House, I take very seriously the Speaker's duty as guardian of this institution's traditions. I've always been keen to ensure that members have robust policy debates in this place, but always believe that we should be attacking the policy, not the individual, and I hope that that spirit will continue.
So, why are we asking about this now? Because a Timald question from Julie Edge seeks to put parameters on the length of time either post can be held by an individual. It reads no one should be able to serve more than two consecutive terms as President of Timald or Speaker of the House of Keys, and no former President of Timald or Speaker of the Keys should be able to return to the same office before a period of 5 years has elapsed. Mrs. Edge is unwilling to speak about her motion until nearer the Timald sitting. Formerly a Minister of Education, she was dismissed. Since then, has been a frequent asker of questions on issues she feels need a higher profile. Sometimes her desire to get her points across have landed her in hot water with Mr. Speaker.
Yeah. Now, final supplementary. Now, you've had your opportunity for three questions, Mr. Thomas. Final supplementary, Ms. Edge.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad to see that you're putting the rules down today. You don't always, but I'd just like to...
Honourable Member, resume your seat.
For the Minister.
I'm afraid you don't, because if you're going to challenge the Chair, you're not going to be entitled to ask questions.
It'll be intriguing to hear Julie Edge's arguments for her motion. Someone who fills such a role well, gathering experience and skill as they go, could be seen as an accruing asset, filling a difficult and technical role on occasions better and better.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
John Moss with that report. In terms of travel, everything's looking good on time down at the airport, and also the steam packet is also running as scheduled as well.
For the latest wheel alignment which saves tyre wear, Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Get more with Quayside, Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
This September, the Isle of Man heads to the polls for the House of Keys general election. Eligible voters aged 16 and over will have the opportunity to choose the 24 MHKs who will represent their constituencies for the next 5 years. In the lead up to polling day, we're bringing you as much information as possible about the candidates standing in your area. You can find full coverage, including a link to our election mini-site at manxradio.com. As part of this, we're inviting every candidate to take part in 2 minutes to tell us, a chance for them to speak directly to you and explain in no more than a couple of minutes why they deserve your vote. Peter Shimon, a new candidate, is standing in the constituency of Douglas Central, and this is his 120 seconds.
Hi, I'm Peter Shimon. I was born, raised, and still live in Douglas Central. I'm standing to be your MHK because I care deeply about the future of the Isle of Man, and I believe younger people deserve a seat at the table. I've had quite a varied career. I trained as an actor and worked in theatre in the UK and abroad. I then moved to London and worked for tech startups, and in 2020, I moved home to take over Kensington Arts in Douglas. More recently, I've worked in public health, leading major legislation. And that variety matters because it means I understand both life outside government and how the system works inside it. Like many of you, I can see the pressure people are under and the frustration with how things are going. So, what would I do about it? First, tackle the cost of living by backing a stronger economy and a government that is smaller and more focused. Second, give younger people and families a fairer chance to build a life here, with more affordable housing, better access to jobs, and stronger child support. Third, rebuild trust by improving public services, particularly healthcare and infrastructure, through better planning, clearer priorities, and stronger accountability. I know people can be sceptical at election time, and rightly so. A lot gets said. All I can point to is the path I've taken, the work I've done inside the system, and the fact I gave up my full-time job earlier this year to give this campaign my full commitment. I believe these things can be done, and I'm serious about doing the work. I also want to bring a more modern style of politics, more visible, more responsive, and more connected to everyday life. If you choose me to represent you for the next 5 years, you'll get a fresh voice and someone who will work hard every day for Douglas Central and for our island. Thank you.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A group of friends from the island paid tribute to a man regarded as something of a local legend over the bank holiday weekend with a trip to his beloved York City. Steve Raz McVitie was part of the Bushy's Brewery family and a familiar presence at the Rover's Return pub in Douglas. He was also well known as the Trolley Man at Lake Road Tesco. His death in July last year sparked an outpouring of tributes. Martin Brunschweiler is the founder of Bushies.
So, yeah, 16 of us made our way over to York. It was a home match to Altrincham, which there was a connection there as well because the Frank Sidebottom, who Raz also was a big fan of, he used to be Altrincham's mascot. So there was a bit of a connection there. So, yeah, we made our way to the game. But beforehand, we found the site that the old York City ground used to be on, and there's a little memorial gardens there. So we scattered a few of his ashes on the site there. It was a light-hearted affair, and we all had Raz masks made. So
you showed me this before. Yeah, there was a cutout made of.
There's a cutout of Raz in his York City shirt. We took that around the pubs and everywhere around York, but we also had masks made, Raz masks. So there are pictures of us sitting in the ground and pubs of York. And he was obviously very well known at York, and loads of people recognised him. Even though the masks that we had were probably from 30 odd years ago when he still had black hair, he was very well thought of. And it was just a lovely trip.
I was going to ask, what was the reaction like when you went around the York City ground with this cutout of Raz?
Yeah, I think they sort of got it. They could understand. As I said, he must have been a well-known sight at York City, and loads of people came up and sort of said how much they liked him, and obviously some people hadn't realised that he'd actually passed away. But no, I think we did him proud, and he'd have loved to have been there. He was obsessed with the number 4 as well. which was mainly because that was his number, that was the position he played on the pitch. And in the ground beforehand, we had a tour of the ground, and in the changing room, we had a picture of Raz's cutout next to the number four player's shirt. And lo and behold, he was the player who scored the winning goal in the 95th minute. So it was meant to be. It was very, very spectacular.
Martin Runchweiler from Bushy's Brewery. Thomas Cleeter's been working the same farm near Jerby for the past 20 years. However, he says the land there is eroding quicker than ever before, and recently he's lost another couple of metres in the past few months. So, Amy Griffiths went to his farm to find out exactly what's been happening.
You can see how green it is at the bottom still as well, because that's how much has been taken out, and it's not going to stop.
And you can see the fence here. I mean, there's a gap between the land here and the fence of, what's that, about 4 feet probably?
Yeah. This chunk, there was about 2 or 3 metres on the other side of it last time I was up here seeing it, and it's just wiped out in one hit. And I'm like, I'm not even going to try and recover that fence now. If you're scared of heights, it's not a place where you want to be. Like, I've been farming on this farm entirely for 4 years, but I've worked this farm with my father. Cool, you're coming up to around 20 odd years now, I think.
Wow.
My father put this fence up, and he put it up, and he brought it back in about a good 20 odd metres from where it was. I don't think we thought it was going to lose like a metre a year kind of thing. It's definitely speeded up. Like, it was quite settled for quite a long time, and now it's like it's gone into overdrive, really. Like, it's going very quickly.
Is there any idea of what's caused it to speed up? Is it just the, you know, we've had some fairly extreme weather over the past few years as well, in terms of storms and things like that? Is that what's making more of an impact?
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but every time we have a storm, we lose a bit. So I'm putting two and two together in that sense, that the more savage storms we're having are just starting to take more chunks out of it, because there's more winds like that, more high waves coming further up the beach. And yeah, it's just taking it out. And because all of this is just sand, there's no actual bedrock or anything underneath it. So it's just really easy for it to take out and take down.
Amy Griffiths with that report. So we move on. And Tobit Curtis is an expert in the field of preserving old buildings, and he's coming over to the island to advise how professionals such as architects, engineers, surveyors and tradesmen could help look after historic sites. He's also worked with Historic England and has even worked on a project in the island before. The event is being hosted by the Diocese of Soda and Man and Manx National Heritage. Here's Church Building Support Officer Louise Whiteleg.
It's really exciting, actually, how we've come to where we are today. Because in the 1990s at St Thomas's Church in Douglas, just at the bottom of Crailin's Hill, they have the most beautiful wall murals all around the building. And in the 1990s, Tobit, as he was starting out in his career, was actually instrumental in helping them to be done and repaired and brought back to their former glory. But since that time, there's been some water damage in the building, and that's the reason why he's coming back to the island, to help us restore St Thomas's to its former glory. So it's a case of watch the space in this one. Fortunately, unfortunately, it makes a great case study for what we're looking at. A lot of buildings will know they've got problems within their own buildings. They can have damp spots, mould problems, drafts. A lot of people will have problems within their buildings but not know how to go about it. One of the recurring problems that I come across as I visit different churches is that with the best will in the world, they've tried to fix the problem that they're seeing. They've tried to fix the damp or fix the mould by putting something over it, putting a paint on it, but not actually fix the root cause of the problem. So now we're trying to think a bit deeper.
Time now to hand over to Rob Pritchard to bring you the sports report brought to you by The Print Shed. Fast am I, Rob.
Fast am I. First off this evening, Isle of Man professional boxer Jay Burden has received a special message from world heavyweight boxing star Tyson Fury ahead of her first ever title fight this weekend. The Ireland competitor will face Katie Smith for the Commonwealth Silver Super Featherweight title in 3 days' time. In a short post shared on social media, Fury tells the Grenade it's her moment to shine and bring that belt back to Manx Shores.
Do the business, Jade, fighting for your first title, Commonwealth title. Absolutely smash it. I know you put all the work in and you've dedicated your life for this. This is your moment to shine now, Jade. Let's go, baby! Bring that title back to the Isle of Man. Let's go!
Yeah, and Burden goes into Saturday's showdown at Portsmouth Guildhall, undefeated in the professional ranks so far, with 4 wins from 4 since turning pro in 2024. Elsewhere in football, the leaders of both the Canada Life Men's Premier League and Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 maintained their respective footholds at the top of their tables during last night's midweek Isle of Man football action. 9 fixtures took place on Tuesday evening across the top 2 divisions in the senior men's game, with Premier League frontrunners Corinthians maintaining their 5-point gap at the summit with a convincing 5-0 win at home to St John's United. Meanwhile, Colby remained 10 points clear atop Division 2 after a comprehensive 5-0 victory at home to recently crowned GH Corlett Woods Cup champions Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Well, the midweek football action on Ireland continues tonight, with 8 matches penned in across both combination leagues, all kicking off at 6 p.m. You can view all of last night's results and this evening's scheduled fixtures on our website. And in motorsport, motorcycle racer Mike Brown has renewed his commitment with Russell Racing by Boyce Precision Engineering for the 2026 Isle of Man TT races. It sees Brown enter a 3rd consecutive year working with the Northern Ireland-based squad, which is expanding to contest more races on the Snaefell Mountain course this year. Among the changes, the team will enter the 1000cc races this year, with Brown to ride on board the team's Honda Fireblade machinery. Elsewhere, rider and squad will continue together in the Supersport races, but with a change of machine for Brown, he'll now contest those races on a next-generation Yamaha R9.
Faster my Rob Pritchard with the sport. I must confess, I do like a midweek football fixture in the Isle of Man. So that's it from Update for tonight. Thank you to newsreader Amy Griffiths. And don't forget, you can download this programme plus many other programmes from Manx Radio from the Manx Radio website, manxradio.com. And if you think there's a story we should be covering that we're not, then get in touch. Email update@manxradio.com. Coming up after this programme, we've got Spotlight with Howard Kane. And later on, it's Country Roads with Andy Wint at 9 o'clock. But that's it from myself, Dave Moore. All being well, I'll be back here again tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Have yourselves a very good Wednesday evening. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Andy Wint, and Teresa Cope, Chief Executive of Manx Care, delivering health and social care, is next on Man in Line. Many issues continue to hover around the organisation. Financial pressure, an unproven funding model, waiting times affecting patients, staff shortages, industrial unrest, a seemingly endless cycle of reform, and who's really in charge? Is it Manx Care, DHSC or Treasury? And who's standing up for the population who rely on its services? What's your experience? What's your view? Talk to Manx Care's Chief Executive, Teresa Cope, tomorrow at midday on Smart Devices, on air, online, on Manx Radio.
Separation should not mean losing time with your children. Most children benefit from a strong relationship with both parents. At Man Benham, we specialise in helping you reach sensible contact and residence arrangements, focusing on your child's best interests. We support communication and cooperation.
Whether through negotiation or court application, our aim is to achieve a stable and workable routine. Professional advice is key to securing your family time. For expert advice on child arrangements, contact Man Benham Advocates. Call us now on 639 350.
So, Dewan, you finally took my advice and went for Spectrum Windows for your home improvements.
Well, with their quality and price, I couldn't refuse. Along with great service from planning to completion, you get all the latest innovations in roofing and glazing.
Oh, Dewan, don't tell the missus that yours are better than ours.
Oh, don't worry, Geoffrey. Yours still look as good as new. They're still A-rated and they're guaranteed for 10 years.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
At Bagoad Cattery, we've been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for our customers' cats and treat them as our own. Visit bagoad.com or call 321 989.
This Easter, don't miss the Dino Express Easter Holiday Adventure. Journey from Douglas Station to Ballasalla with a dinosaur treasure hunt on the way. Then your Jurassic Ranger will escort you by bus to Russian Abbey, where you'll meet Loki the Velociraptor, Bronwyn the Brontosaurus, and much more. To avoid dinosaur disappointment, book now. Call 662-525 or visit rail.im.
Men's Radio.
Hello, welcome to Spotlight, illuminating the island's artistic talent.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we catch up with the 11th Manx Bard as he passes the halfway mark in his bardship.